Welcome back once again here to the Lagoon and Thurman, home of the reigning All-Ireland ladies club champions. And, well, we'll have an extended programme tonight. We're with you until 9:30 in actual fact. And my thanks to Pio McCann for affording us that extra half hour tonight, obviously, to celebrate what is a great occasion for the club. And, well, just to make sure that everybody has stayed in the room, I want everybody to give one loud cheer to let those at home know that everybody is still alive and kicking in Chairman. So, Chairman, the All-Ireland Ladies Champions. Yeah, we're certainly, this party's going to go on, and I have a feeling it's going to go on for some months to come yet. Well, I'm delighted to say I'm joined by two men who, well, in my interviews last week prior to the game with all the girls and with all the mentors, and indeed talking to Benny Traherty and to Deirdre Gallagher as well, two names that kept cropping up all the time was that of Harry Midlen and Master Gillespie. And, well, it's Christy Gillespie here beside me as well, former Kilcar player and a man who played in Ulster Club Championship, I think, some years ago, and maybe came quite close to breaking that Donegal hoodoo as well. We might talk a little bit about that. But first of all, Harry Midlen, why were people keep talking about you and Dunfermline ladies? Because I think you were there from the start. I'm not sure if you were there from the start, but certainly you got a lot of these ladies involved early on.
Well, I would have got a lot of these ladies involved early on, but I wouldn't have been there at the start. The whole thing was actually started, as far as I know, by a man who's sitting down there, Shamie Freel, along with James Harkin, a couple of Harkin sisters. And they worked very, very hard at the start, and things started to get worse and worse. And I think eventually, due to numbers, the numbers were gone in the club. And I suppose, looking back, 1999 was a watershed year in the club's history, because that was when the year that the ladies' team was disbanded. But there was a few people kept the thing going at underage. And we were actually down from memory, I think, to about 18 under-12s and 5 under-14s that year. Yeah. And we went in, and I got involved that year then through Celine McFadden, would have been instrumental in getting me involved. And we went through that year, 2000, or 99, and I don't think we won a game at all. We had the same thing the following year. And then we made what would be termed a breakthrough. In 2001, we got to the Junior B final, under 12, which mightn't seem like a lot now, but on that day, it was a big, big occasion, a big thing for the girls. And then Christy here beside me was doing great work and to come in the months ago. And it was one of them things that it built up. Like, as I say, we were very bottom of the pile in 99, but the year 2002, we won our first title in under 12. You know, so it escalated very quickly.
As you said, it hit rock bottom, but the underage kept going. And when you got involved, I know you went on and got a lot of people. What did you have to do?
Well, we basically had to go around houses trying to get girls interested. You know, yeah. Basically that was it. A couple of my own daughters were involved in it, and their friends came at the start, you know, like came along with them because they were their friends. But then there were some girls who weren't interested, and Celine, myself, and I think Eileen Kelly out there, and Eileen McLaughlin from Gareton. We went round basically canvassing,
yeah.
You know.
And you have a good story to tell when you call to one certain house, haven't you?
Yeah, I called to a certain house, and I'm sure most people have heard it at this stage. It was a house called McLaughlin's. Now, Tony would be the first man to admit the McLaughlin's father, but he would not have been a football man by any means. Tony would have went past the Burden Road and no interest in the football. I went down anyway, and Breege, Geraldine and their mother has a better memory of it. I went down anyway and I asked about footballers. And Breege said, fair enough, she said, and then she had laughed to herself and she says, you'll be smart if you can get a footballer in this house. But Breege is down there and Tony, and I'm delighted to say, Breege, you were wrong. I didn't just get a footballer in your house. We got a lot of footballers in your house.
And just remind people who we're talking about.
Geraldine McLaughlin.
The best forward in
the
Ireland.
The best forward in Ireland, without any doubt. But, I mean, there's also, she's a couple of sisters there who are outstanding.
Yeah.
Absolutely outstanding.
You're talking about Sharon and...
Sharon, yeah.
And Nicole.
I better mention Sharon, anyway. Yeah. And Nicole. I mean, they're outstanding footballers in their own right. They may not be great, like so many of the girls. They can't all go out and score the goals and score the points.
Yeah.
But when you saw Nicole coming up through that defence there on Sunday, it was an unbelievable talent. And she's so young.
Yeah. And obviously, so anymore. When you ask somebody, when you ask a mum or dad about footballers and they say you'll get none of this house, that's, you ignore that one, do you?
Yeah, ignore that one, because that's a good sign. That's a good sign.
Tell me, what was it like on Sunday for you and Chum?
It's just unbelievable, you know. I mean, I have to admit, like, I don't remember much about after the match.
Yeah.
You know, the immediate aftermath, and I think a lot of people were the same. Everybody was, as they say, walking on air, you know, basically.
Yeah.
But it was just an unbelievable experience.
Yeah. And I have to say as well that your other half, Maura, played a significant role as well. Unfortunately, she can't be with us tonight, but I was speaking to her last night, and she certainly, I wish she was here, but she just can't be here with us tonight. But she did play a big role as well. Or is she here now?
Yeah.
No,
I don't know. No, Maura.
No, she told me she wasn't going to be here anyway. So
I thought she was, but anyway. No, Maura did a lot of work there. I must say, Maura was within air, and the girls, I always say that young girls like that, they need a mother hen, and she was their mother hen for many years. You know, she looked after them. Definitely really good.
Anyway, as we said, the other man that was mentioned quite a lot, and he's sitting over here for me, very masterly looking, I must say, indeed, Christy Gillespie. A lot of people mentioning your name. Obviously, you were a proud man in Chum last Sunday as well.
As Harry was saying a minute ago, really, words really can't describe it, because you're hoping that the day will happen. And I suppose when they set out on the journey all those years ago, little did we ever think that the day would happen. Like, I don't think there was ever, right up until this year, maybe a master plan that it was ever going to get this far. And, you know, what the girls were doing the whole way through, incrementally every year, they were improving and improving and improving. But I think even in 2010, when they won the Ulster title for the first time, that when they got and played Inch Rovers here, they had every chance of winning that game. And there was many chances, maybe went to begging on the day. And I think they lost by 3 points in the end. But, you know, in a sense, you should be really here tonight celebrating the second one, because they were so close at the time. But I think, at that stage, they were happy with their first county one, their first Ulster one. And I think there was of a belief this year.
The success at senior level had come very rather fast, as Trevor Alcorn had told us, like, you know, that only won a junior championship a couple of years before that.
That's correct. You know, and sometimes it takes that wee bit of experience. When you look at that team in 2010, it was terribly young.
Yeah.
And this year, I think you always learn from your mistakes, and they would have looked at the Dunamoyne game last year. And I mean, I couldn't say enough about the management this year. I mean, they were an absolutely fantastic management, and they looked and they realised from watching videos and that they just weren't fit enough.
Yeah.
And, they made a lot of other kind of small changes that needed to be made. Because if you're going to win at that level, it's the small differences that often take you that extra step. And in the second half, watching it on Sunday, it was just an unstoppable force at that stage, because once their fitness levels kicked in, you could see the faith just draining out of the Mourne Abbey team. And Termin were getting stronger and stronger as the game wore on. I must say, in all my years watching football, it's the best second half I've ever seen.
And tell me. And some brilliant individual performances as well. And we have to talk about Geraldine. It's very unfair on everybody else, but 3-8 in an All-Ireland final is an exceptional score.
Well, I mean, before you would even talk about the 3-8, I think, as you know, as a captain, I think it was an inspired choice this year, because I don't know how many interviews I've heard with Geraldine now at this stage, and Geraldine and myself will go back a long way. And Geraldine has yet to speak about herself once. And I mean, when you have a captain like that that leads by example, and I mean, I was talking there on Reading the Guilted on Monday morning, and watching her display in the second half, I likened it to a fox amongst chickens. I mean, every time the ball went in, there was just pure panic inside. And, you know, it's a mark of any great player that once you get ball, you know, there's only, like, Geraldine goes right back to the very first game she ever played. I'll talk about that in a minute. And she scored 2 goals that day, and she's been scoring goals ever since. And that's where her pleasure comes from. And then she deflects everything onto everybody else. But Geraldine would be the first to say that, you know, the supply coming in for the whole of the second half was excellent. And I mean, the work was being done outside. She was finishing it off.
Yeah. Anyway, Oisin is going to speak to somebody. But before that, just, you made a breakthrough at Cumann an Munskell with quite a few of these girls, 2001. That was significant, wasn't it? Or was it around 2001, was it?
Well, you know, before, you know, if you just go back a couple of quick years before that, there wasn't even girls' competitions. And once the girls' competition started, we just kind of started working with them in the school, and they were very amenable to work very, very hard on their skills. And
how did you find that coming from a great traditional area like Kilcar? You know, were you surprised at that?
I wasn't really, because down in Kilcar, we would have had great success during the 80s and early 90s, and I was lucky to be a part of that. But I mean, it was never based on a good underage structure. You know, it was just lucky that we had a gang of lads and we went out every evening and messed about, and that's where we kind of would have learned the skills. Yeah. But we made that breakthrough in 2001, and I think we went on for maybe 4 or 5 years afterwards, and we were lucky enough never maybe to lose a game, and it filtered into the club, and then the likes of Harry and them worked so hard with them afterwards, and bit by bit by bit, the whole thing started to grow to where it is now.
Christy, thanks a million, and unfortunately the clock is pressing us a bit, so we have to go to Oisin, but my thanks to Harry McGlynn and to Christy Gillespie. Oisin.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. I'm joined now by a lady who has 27 years experience, as Smiley told us a wee while ago. They've even written a song about her. Listen, Mo, turn around here, look at your girls and look at the Terman Parish. I've been told you're hanging up the boots. Can you officially confirm that now?
Well, the girls don't want me to say anything about it, but I suppose when the last couple of days have come under a bit of pressure from people saying, you know, you can't give up now at this stage, but I really don't know now what the next year holds, because me personally, throughout my whole life, I've never really been one to give up, you know, and talked about one and all Ireland's. Maybe this has been a dream all my life and all our lives. And, you know, now that we've won one all Ireland, I don't know what, you know, we're definitely good enough to win another all Ireland. I know that. I know that this bunch of girls are really only coming together as a team. And if they stick together the way they are now at the minute, I mean, anything's possible, to be honest. So I don't know whether I want to give up being a part of that or not at the minute. That's something that I have to decide. We'll see, maybe come the next year and see after how all the partying goes, if the body's still able after that.
Well, I'll tell you what, given some of your displays this year in the championship, you're definitely able for another crack and try and retain this All-Ireland with the Termin girls. But you've been along county setups and you've been involved in big matches through the years. But I'm sure winning an All-Ireland with your club is probably the highest accolade of the lot, Mary.
Oh, absolutely. It's just the cherry on top of the cake now at the minute. You're talking about 27 years. I've waited mostly my whole life for that day to come, the last day there. And it's a very emotional occasion, you know, for me personally. But I said to some of the girls, I said, that are a lot younger than me, I said, what do you do now that all your dreams have come through, you know, like at your age? I look at Geraldine there, she's 21, and Lauren McElwain there is 16, 17 years age, and they've won an All-Ireland. They've won the greatest prize that any club player could possibly win. They've really achieved the dream, and I don't know what is possible after that, possibly winning another All-Ireland. But I'm just so thankful and honoured to have been a part of this massive, massive achievement, and to say that I've gained so many great friends is really an understatement, and so many great friends within the community and the supporters and all. That's been all part of the journey, and that's what makes this. We go out and we do the hard work in the field, but it's really been a truly historic occasion for us, and a very memorable one because of our family and because of our friends here in Termin. And without the backing of the people around us here in this room and there on Sunday night, none of these dreams would be possible. That goes without saying, because family and community and the community here, and we've been through some sad occasions, you know, in the past few years as well. And this whole community has come to standstills on many different occasions, no different from Sunday. And we stick together then, and we stick together in the good times and the bad times. And that's what makes this bunch of players and this community one of the most amazing bunch of people that I've ever been a part of. And I just, from the bottom of my heart, I'd like to thank you all very, very much.
Very well said, Maureen. And I think I speak on behalf of everybody here, the players and the rest of the parish and the friends of the family. There's no doubt they want you to stay another year. All right. The brilliant Maureen O'Donnell. I'll go down the floor. Madeline McDade. I'm actually privileged to speak to Madeline. She only speaks to Sean Doherty. She was going to sing for him too the last day, but Madeline, you've got a girl involved in the team. You're the PRO of the club. You work very, very closely with this group of girls, and it's been a brilliant experience for everyone involved.
Yeah, Oisin, it's been a wonderful year for me personally. Last year, maybe around this time, a few of the girls said, oh, will you get involved with the ladies board? They'd asked me a few times before and I didn't do it. And I kind of hemmed and hawed with other things that I have going on in my other side of my sporting family. And then Grenya rang me one day and she said, oh, sure, you'll take the PRO, will you not? Just take it anyway. So I said, okay, I will. And anybody who knows Grenya knows she's quite persuasive there. So I took it on, and in my mindset, I thought, there'll not be much work with these senior ladies. Sure, everybody knows them and they're so successful. I'm going to concentrate on the underage girls. And I hope the parents and the managers of the underage girls feel that I've done that. I worked the best I could all year. But as the year went on, I said, God, these girls are coming on strong. We're going to win an All-Ireland this year. And it went on anyway, and it came up to then after they got to the, with the one Ulster, and then they won the All-Ireland semi-final, and we got together a group of us and we said we'd promote these girls now for 2 weeks. We were going to push hard and we were going to get them over the line. Everything they needed, we were going to assist Francie and Trevor and Paul and get them what they needed and what we could do. And I had lots of phone calls after I was on, you said, the Sean Doherty show. I had lots of calls to myself, and one man rang me up and he said, I'll get behind you, Madeline. He says, I'll give them a bit of sponsorship. And I said, God, that's great. And he said, do you think we'll be won? And I said, well, to be honest, I said, they'll be hard to beat. And he said, do you think? I said, if anybody gets past Nicole McLaughlin and Emer Gallagher, they will be lucky. So, do you know, and for me, it's been great experience. I've been lucky. What a, you know, to be on the committee a year you win the All-Ireland is just fantastic. But we've a great working crowd around us. And for everybody that helped me, thanks very much. And to the girls and to Francie, sorry, to Francie and Trevor and them, just on behalf of they took up this year, as you said, my own daughter, five minor girls that they thought they'd bring in and they would train them up and they would get them going. And for them and behalf of their parents, I'd like to thank them. You've given these girls a wonderful journey, and to be under 18 and win an All-Ireland medal, as Mo said, it's just dreams come true for them. So personally, I would like to thank them for that.
As PRO, are you going to start the campaign now to keep Mo for another year? That's your next task?
Oh, I'm on the Sean Doherty show tomorrow, keep Mo. The We Want Mo campaign has started.
Brilliant, well done. Madeline McDade, folks. I'll go back to Tom in just a second. I'm going to speak to a gentleman. Stand up there, James. James Traherty. Because James kept the listeners of Donegal up to date throughout the championship with what was happening with ladies football, and in particular the Termin ladies. You were the man that was on the ground for us during the Ulster championship and some of them fantastic performances. But what an achievement by this group of girls and the backroom team of the manager, rather, and the rest of his backroom team, Francie, Trevor, and all the rest of them.
Ah, that's right, Oisin. I kept... The county, the people that couldn't get to see the games, I kept them informed all right. But it's very easy to write about a winning team, and this particular group of girls, it was very easy to write about them. Now, having said that, Francie was always cautioning me not to write too much about them. Don't let the opposition know what they're like. But along with Madeline, we probably portrayed a good image of them in the local press, and it helped get people out there and see what was happening there. But
it was an easy job for you.
It was an easy job there. But I suppose going back to the 2010 game in Berra where they beat Dunamoyne, I always remember listening in my ears to Highland Radio. There was a fellow there doing the commentary, and he was talking about Dunamoyne strolled into an easy 5-point victory, was I think something like 2 minutes to go. Roisin Friel got one goal, brought it back to 2 points, and then Geraldine got a goal. And as Francie said, they were ahead at the vital time, which was 30 seconds to go. And Termin won that game there. The game against French Rovers itself in the Bourne Road, it was hard luck that Termin didn't progress in that game, and they could have. And possibly if they'd won that game, we'd be sitting here tonight, and Termin may have many more All-Irelands under their belt. But history is history, and it wasn't to be. Sunday was a revelation for the girls, for the parish, for the supporters. It was very, very good. It was lovely to watch them. And a great group of girls there. Lovely, easy to work with there. Great management structure too. So,
well done, James. And thanks for keeping Highland informed through the year.
Thank you. The cheque will be in the post.
It will. Seamus Fritz, stand up. Man has been involved with ladies football. You were, it was right in saying the guys said that you were one of the first managers of the ladies team.
I suppose me and James Harkin would have been the first managers in 92. When it's
so you're taking credit then for all this?
No, I can't take very much credit now. I suppose we soldiered on in the early years, so it's kind of set the seeds, and they've grown into this now today. So
it's amazing the way it developed.
It is. I know there's a period, I suppose, the late 90s, beginning it was tough, but we got it back going again, and it's been going well since. So.
Very proud, Chairman Mann.
Oh, aye. Yeah. Right.
Good man, Seamus. Seamus Reid, folks.
Thank you.
Right, back to the top table, Tom.
Thank you indeed, Oisin. Unfortunately, time is pressing, and well, I have two very important men beside me now. One is the president of the club, that's Paddy Murray, and the other is Danny O'Donnell, the chairman of the club. And Paddy, if you could pull forward just to the mic there for a moment. You said to me last night when I rang you, make sure you keep it short and brief. Unfortunately, it's going to be that because the clock is about to beat us. But anyway, a proud man. I've seen you in some of the photographs. You were in Chum on Sunday.
I certainly was. I the proudest man in Ireland, not alone chairman.
Yeah.
That was the best display of football that ever I seen in my life in the second half. They pressed up. They had a plan for the bit Geraldine in the first half. They had one marketer and 2-1 to get their loose ball at the full back, ball down. And the other one was for the keep the ball, low ball from going into her, but then Terman pressed up in the second half and they put the ball in short and Geraldine was coming out. And don't mind, all you had to do is look at page 210 and RTE1. I don't know whether you've seen it or not, but if you go home at night and put on RTE1, it might be on page 211 by this time of night. But whatever, anyway, it's the best display of football and I'm proud. And congratulations to the girls and the management.
Danny O'Donnell, chairman of the club, it's a great year to be chairman.
It's the best year ever. You couldn't ask for any better than the result we got. I came back here from America and I took over the chair this year. And to be the chair of an All-Ireland, one of the best teams, or the best team in Ireland right now, is a fantastic feeling.
So they were waiting for you to come back to America to win the All-Ireland?
Well, I can say that now, anyway. But myself and my fellow critic down there, Kevin McGafferty, we always give it on to Francie about, you know, about the blanket defence and all that, and we didn't like it. But, you know, I have to admit now, Francie, that it did work for you. But but as Paddy Murray said, you know, the game plan did change a little bit in the second half, and the gears did press up, and, like, the ball was delivered a lot faster inside, and that's what won the game for us. And, like, everybody's just over the moon. It's just one of the best results that you could ever get. And, like, there's texts coming in from everywhere, you know, wishing the team the very best and congratulating them, because they're one in a million. We'll never get another team. I mean, there's young girls coming on, but that combination of young and old, like my niece and godchild there, Mo, and that, you know, as Harry said, she'd be kind of like the mother hen.
Thank you very much to Danny O'Donnell, the chairman of the club, to Paddy Murray, the president of the club,
and to chairman. There are two or three of us chairmen, and there's nobody chairman at the same time.
Anyway,
I'm only a paper man at this stage. I've been 21 years hashing about the fields here.
Unfortunately, the clock has beaten us. My thanks, well, to the All Ireland champions for hosting us here tonight. It has a special ring to it, all right, Tyrman All-Ireland champions. But anyway, also my thanks to the Lagoon here in Tyrman and to Johnny McCafferty. Thanks to our sponsors, Orbis Security, who are on board, and especially to Martin and Porrick. And I know it's very proper, I suppose, that Orbis Security should be involved in the sponsorship tonight, because their father, Martin, and Porrick's father, Paddy, is one of the founding fathers of the club, and it's good to see him down there alive and kicking, and I'm sure he was a proud man as well. My thanks to Oisin Kelly on sound and for doing the interviews. My thanks to Paul McDevitt back at studio for keeping us right, and also to P.O. McCann. And thank you, P.O., for allowing us a little bit of extra off your time. But that's about it from Tyrman. We'll have one last cheer for the All-Ireland champions, and we'll sign out for this week. Slán agus beannacht.